As I look at my life, I can see it's definitely been a journey. Maybe not the journey that I would have planned, not the way I would have written that, but the Lord has written it. The Lord in glory past has planned my life. Giving a word of testimony is always a joy for a Christian to do. And as I consider my testimony, that's what I see. I see the Lord's hand from my childhood, through my school years, into work, into college, into employment. And see that all those things have been working together in accordance with God's will. It really is. It is amazing to think of the doors that the Lord closed and the disappointments that have came. But then to see doors open again and the excitement and the joy. It's amazing just to see that the Lord has been at all from the very beginning. I have to say my burden for the land of Uganda goes back quite some time. It goes back even before there was a Free Presbyterian at work in the land. Back in 2013, really as a beginning student in college, it was really then the Lord challenged me actually to pray that the Lord would open the Free Presbyterian work in that land. I knew very little of the land, but yet this was the burden that the Lord put upon my heart, and I began to pray, and it was amazing to see how the Lord answered those prayers. When the Lord answers such a prayer, the first question comes to mind, well, is the Lord opening this door for me to serve? But then in the time to come, it appeared it was opening for others. I have to say there was very mixed emotions for me at this time. In one sense, I was glad the Lord again had answered my prayers and had provided someone to go and to labour there. While at the same time, I have to say, I don't know if it's the right word, but there was a jealousy that maybe that wasn't opening for me. And it was, as years go on, the Lord did burden me to go to Corrigarie, to County Monaghan. And very much I knew that was the Lord's will at that time. But then it appeared a door opening again for the land of Uganda. Very much the question came to me, well, is it now my time to go? I left it very much with the Lord. If he wanted me to go, that somehow the mission board would approach me and it would be spoken to go. I left this with the Lord. Some time later, I had to ring Reverend McMillan one Sunday afternoon. And then just in the process of conversation, I don't know the exact words that Reverend McMillan used, but it was something along the lines of, had I ever considered serving the Lord on the mission field? And it was really at that moment the Lord really struck my heart again with this burden. Reverend McMillan may not have knew my burden, but the Lord knew, and the Lord was truly, I believe, asking that question and not our brother. It was frightening to think the Lord is opening this door. It's one thing to be burdened and even have that excitement of maybe there being a possibility, but when it starts to become real, a nervous definitely set in. I first visited Uganda then in March 2022. Now, that wasn't when I was planned to go. I was planned to go in May of 2020, but then COVID happened. There was much waiting. There was much anxious waiting at some degree, but yet the Lord was very good and stilled me, gave me patience, gave me great opportunities even within those times to preach there via Zoom. And then getting to go and see people face to face, that was a wonderful experience to see these people that I had been ministering to stand beside Master Thomas as he translated all these things. It was a wonderful experience to actually firsthand to be there amongst the boys and girls and the people within the church. In my time there, there was a few girls came to us at various times and were counselled. I remember preaching a very simple assembly. I brought some lollipops over me from home, some 450 lollipops. I did a simple object lesson on the free gift that I was given to, and of course the free gift of salvation. And then to speak to those girls and hear that it was those things that I had said to them, just listen to what they were saying to me, that the Lord had spoken to them through that. It very much was a seal, I believe, on my call to the land of Uganda. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing to see the Lord at work. And it really was the Lord had done these things. I remember the first one, it was really a shock. It really, as a minister, you think you're always ready, prepared for such things. But we live in a day of much barrenness, and it was so encouraging to see some come and show that interest in the things of the Lord and to counsel them and to point them to Christ. I was there in March of 2022. I suppose I regretted that I didn't bring Rhonda and the children with me that time. It was, I suppose, I, very naive, knew very little about the mission field, and I was going to thinking mosquitoes and disease and danger everywhere. But very much when we were there, it was a safe place, it's a very welcoming place. Very much it feels like a family. You have children boarding there, some 80 children boarding, and there's always activity. It's never quiet, and you're never lonely. And I believe the Lord gave me a comfort in this, thinking that this, it could be a place that you could raise a family, even with the challenge. Of course, there are challenges and difficulties, yet there was an ease given to me. And really, I wanted my wife and the children to come out with me, even just to experience and see that for themselves. It was then arranged in June of 2022 to revisit the land of Uganda, to bring Rhonda, my wife, to bring John, George and Ella Grace out as well. And at first that was really exciting, the thought of going out, and then reality kicks in that you're going to bring three small children on very long flights to Africa. But even from the beginning to the end of that journey, our children have never been better. And we could see the Lord's hand was clearly in this. The people were praying for us. When we made it to the compound, very quickly we were surrounded by children. And really, our boys and Isla Grace, they settled in so fast. It wasn't just that they played with the boys and girls, that they got on with each other, but those true friendships were formed. Even since returning, there's been letters have been sent both ways. And it's amazing to see that the Lord has answered prayers concerning this. Was really one of our chief concerns about going to the land of Uganda. How do you raise young children in a foreign culture? Really, the Lord has been so good, and I believe, in answering those prayers for us, even for Rhonda too. It was a great experience to be in Uganda, to experience firsthand, to see the potential. She was amazed to see the potential that there is there in that land, and even things that she can do. She has a real passion for working with children, being a teacher for several years, and working within state education and in Christian education. She can see there's much that she can do there too in that land. Coming home from Uganda, that second visit, it was very much, I knew that I couldn't really delay any longer, that something needed to be done. Having applied to the mission board to serve in the land of Uganda, I'm very happy that the mission board have been very supportive, very helpful, some very wise counsel given. And now at this stage, being approved by the mission board and by Presbytery, we are with great excitement look forward to travelling out to the land of Uganda as a family. Having been now in the land of Uganda twice, it's very much clear to me there is a great work to be done in the church that is there. There are some wonderful people in the church, but there is clearly a need for some sound biblical teaching. Just the very basics there is very much a need to develop that, develop their understanding of the simple truths of the scripture. There's much confusion in the land. There's much charismatic influence. There's also much challenge in the area too of Catholicism and Islam, where the church is located. That really are the two main religions. So being able to combat that and trying to minister in that will definitely be some of the great challenges of our time there. I think from the beginning of our time in Uganda, we will have to very much get ourselves involved in the learning of the language. Of course, there is the children, they speak English, they're taught in English in the school, but the community, it's clear to be seen that there's many of the people who speak only Luganda, so that'll be a challenge for myself and for Rhonda, and indeed as the family, as we maybe together would learn the language. I think it is vitally important that I'm able to communicate with the people in their own language. There's much can be lost in translation. I think even just from a personal thing, for those people to see, here's this outsider, yet he's willing to learn our language, and he wants to speak to us in our language. I think that's so important as a church, and even in evangelism.
Well, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to hide?
Even outside of the work, the immediate work of the church, there is much opportunity in the community. I remember one phone call I had with Reverend McMillan, and I told him that was probably my biggest difficulty, was there was so much opportunity. It was so very hard to see what the right door to take was, and that's really where we need much wisdom. Every week there is a weekly open air. It's wonderful to see. You go to a little village, you set up your equipment, and the children and the adults, they just come out of nowhere. They sit down and they listen to you. It's really not like anything that we have here at home. is just a wonderful opportunity to see the potential that there is in the community. There is a great opportunity to go around the doors and visit people, to give out tracts, to give out new beginnings, translated into Luganda. There's so many opportunities. You go down little paths thinking there's nobody, and you find house after house and so many people, so many opportunities in that way. I can see going forward, maybe not in the immediate future, but definitely as we go down, spend some time in the land of Uganda, I believe there's great potential for establishing further works. There's so many people, so much keenness and interest in the gospel. I believe there is great potential for the establishing and planting of other churches. I suppose we can have a very romantic view of the mission field, and I've read many missionary biographies, and those things, they're inspiring, and it's wonderful to sort of feel that you're entering into such labours. But at the same time, I know I'm not one of those men. I know there's many challenges, many difficulties, loneliness even, just simple things like that. There is concerns, very personal concerns, I suppose, and leaving a family behind, leaving elderly parents and so forth. And I say that's probably the biggest concern we have at this time. I consider my life really from those early days growing up on a farm to going to back into education, going into Christian school, going into the ministry, and now venturing out onto the mission field. There's clearly there is an excitement to see that the Lord has been working all these things together, and that's an encouragement that the Lord has a purpose and a will in all these, that all those years that this is what he's been working towards. It's amazing to think what the Lord has for us in the days ahead. While this step is very new to us, and a very steep learning curve, we acknowledge that there's much to learn, and we will be learning all the time. But we know with all the challenges, all the difficulties, we are not going alone. Those words of Christ are very comforting to us there in Matthew chapter 28. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Introduction today, and even the invite to be here. I don't take it for granted in any way. It's a real privilege to be able to come and to present to you the work which the Lord is calling us to. At this point in our meeting, I want us to turn to God's Word together, to that verse that was mentioned there at the conclusion of that video, found there in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And as you're turning to that portion of God's Word, just leave with you some very quick prayer requests, sort of based on the video, some things that were said in it, and maybe some things that maybe were not highlighted. Just leave with you maybe three or four requests. First one is concerning family. As mentioned there in the video, that one of our biggest concerns is not us going, but maybe the leaving of family behind, and particularly elderly parents and so forth. So please, I know yous will be praying for us. I know as our own church, we do remember our missionaries in prayer, but sometimes maybe we forget the families that are left behind. So please do pray for our families, that God's grace will be sufficient for them in the days and the months ahead. Pray for wisdom. There's so many opportunities that really the video isn't able to bring that out. There's only so much can be fitted into the video, but there's so many opportunities, so many different avenues of service. And that brings its own challenges. It means much wisdom is needed to make sure we're doing the right things, going through the right door. So please do pray for us in that regard. I suppose building upon that, another of our chief prayer requests is for workers. You say you're looking for workers, you're not even in the land, and you're looking for help. Well, that's exactly what we are asking for. There's much work to be done. Noreen does so much out there already on her own at this time. We'll be engaging, of course, in much of that work as well when we go out. But there's so much more. There's a great need for children's workers, for men, families, even consider going out and the planting of churches. There's so much work. We need much more workers, and not just workers from here, but even there in Uganda, that there'll be men and women raised up to serve the Lord. So please do make this
burden on your own heart for prayer. Maybe you had our sister Noreen on deputation when she was home, and I know that that was one of her chief prayer requests, that there would be a man, a family sent out to minister in the church. And it's very humbling to think that we are the answer to that prayer. But maybe an encouragement to us to pray on. The Lord has answered such prayers before. He can answer those prayers again. So let us join together in praying for more workers to be sent. But I ask you then, just one final thing, and we will get to the word then, is for a move of the Spirit. Oh, it's all right saying there's all these avenues, there's all these opportunities for us to serve as a family. It's one thing to say that we need lots of workers. And I've said this in other churches, you all could come with me to Uganda, and you all could go out there and you could all do a work. But unless the Spirit moves, unless He blesses the work, it all will be in vain. It's so easy to give out gospel tracts and New Beginnings translated into Uganda. You can give them out every day and you can continue to give them out. But again, that is in vain if the Lord doesn't move. It's a move of the Spirit that is required. Oh yes, there's a keenness, a willingness to sit and listen to the gospel. But that isn't enough. It is the Spirit that needs to move, convict of sin, and do that work with regeneration, which only He can do in hearts. So please pray for that. Pray too for the move of the Spirit in the hearts of the believers in the land of Uganda. They will grow in the knowledge of our Saviour, and that we will see before our eyes the promise of Christ being fulfilled, that He will build His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. So that is our prayer request. We do finally get to the reading and the preaching of God's word. Matthew chapter 28. We'll just read a few verses there from verse 16 down to the conclusion of this chapter, of course. A portion which you will be familiar with, one of the accounts of Christ giving His great commission to His disciples. And we read there from verse 6, this word. We'll unite our hearts for a moment in prayer at this time. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee for our time to gather in Thy house this morning. O Lord, to worship Thee in the singing of the psalms of the hymns. O Lord, of approaching Thy throne of grace in prayer. O Lord, now in the reading of Thy word. And Lord, as we come to the preaching, we pray, Lord, that Thou will bless it to our hearts. That Thou, Lord, will fill us with that Spirit, Lord, which, Lord, I seek for the land of Uganda. We need a move of it here in our midst this hour. O Lord, move. Lord, even work through me. May I be Thy messenger with Thy message this morning, that Lord Christ will be seen, and Lord, Thy children will be encouraged and challenged, and Lord, even those who know not Christ, that Lord, today they would consider Him. O be with us, bless us, we pray. We do ask these things in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Amen. It was towards the end of the life of his life, David Livingstone, that great missionary, the pioneer missionary, was brought back to his native Scotland to be honoured by his countrymen, particularly by the University of Glasgow. As David Livingstone stood in the great auditorium of the university and told of all his experiences in Africa, there was great silence. Great silence as he stood there with his left arm hanging limp at his side, the result of being mauled by a lion some years before. As he spoke of being bedridden with malaria and other fevers some 30 times, he told of all the other various hardships that he had endured in the land of Africa. Oh, David Livingstone suffered much in Africa, including maybe chiefly the loss of his dear wife who is buried in that land. Well, David Livingstone had suffered much. He wasn't the same man as he was who had went out all those years ago. He was frail, he was battle sore, he had suffered so much. He was clearly in ill health. Suffered so much. When he was there back in Scotland, no doubt, his family, his friends, they were shocked by the man that they saw. Oh, just a shadow of what he once was. And many of those, as he considered returning to the land of Africa, many of them would try to convince him to stay at home, saying, David, surely you've ran the course. Surely you've fought the good fight. Surely you've laboured enough. You've suffered enough. Surely it's time for you just to stay here in Scotland. Don't go back to the land of Africa. Why would you go back to Africa after all you've told us about the sufferings that you faced? But this is what David Livingstone said. He said, I return without misgivings and with great gladness. Would you like me to tell you what supported me through all the years of exile among people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude towards me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. On these words I staked everything, and they never failed me. It is the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honour. So there's an end to it. Here David Livingstone is declaring to us what we could call his life verse, a verse that he had staked his all upon, a verse that he had trusted as the words of a gentleman. Well, those words that we read together there in verse 20, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." He has said, "I trusted in these words. I have been offering all those years. And yes, I've suffered. Yet the Lord has been faithful to his promise. And if he's been faithful to me in the past, I go again knowing that he will continue to be faithful to me." David would trust in those words as he would venture out to Africa one last time. And there in that land, his frail body would finally give up the ghost. He would give up the ghost while on his knees beside his bed. And there found before that man, oh Lord, just as his body remained, there on his bed before him was his open Bible. Opened here to this portion that we have opened before us this morning. And in the margin of his Bible, before those words in verse 20, he had written in his own little scrawly writing the words of a gentleman. Now, we cannot be certain, but I like to imagine that if this portion was open before him, as he gave up the ghost there on his knees, maybe was he thanking the Lord for his faithfulness to his promise all those years. Maybe as he felt himself drifting away into the glory of God, into eternity, he was thanking God for being faithful to the very end. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He called them the words of a gentleman. Now, that may mean very little to us in the modern context, but in David Livingstone's day, the word of a gentleman meant something. His honour was at stake. You see, Jesus Christ was the God-man, the one who could not lie. And if Christ had promised it, David Livingstone was certain of it. And as I say, I believe he proved it and gave thanks for it to the very end. Now, why do I mention David Livingstone to you? Why do I use him as an illustration in bringing out these words to you this morning? Well, let me be very clear from the outset that I am not for one moment comparing myself to that man. I am no David Livingstone. Oh, I don't know who I could compare myself. I feel so inadequate in comparison to such men, even within our own denomination. Well, I'm no David Livingstone, and I don't for one moment try to say that I am. But what I can say is, I am resting in the same words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These words, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," are the words that me, my family, that we rest our all upon as we in the not so distant future in the Lord's will move to the land of Uganda. And it is for this reason that we have put this verse upon our prayer card. Our brother has mentioned the prayer cards. Please do take one with you on your way out today. And on that card we have those very words, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, as you look at prayer cards, you will see that every missionary prayer card, there's a text on it. Every missionary, they choose a text for their prayer card. And as I was thinking and considering, I thought, is there any more appropriate words to place on our prayer card than that? How appropriate these words are for any missionary prayer card, for just even considering the context of these words, we see, what is it? Well, I mentioned it before we read it, is Jesus Christ giving his great commission to his disciples. Or what we could say, it is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples, thrusting them out as missionaries with the task of fulfilling their part in the great commission. Never how appropriate these words are for any missionary. What appropriate motto text that is for anyone who will go to serve the Lord. But this morning, as we would look at these words together, I want you to see with me that these are not just words for a mighty servant of God like David Livingstone or a much lesser servant of God like me. But I want you to see with me this morning that these are words for each and every child of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, those who know the Lord as their Savior here this morning, I want you to see that, yes, I put these words on my prayer card. I claim them as words for me and my family, just as David Livingstone claimed them as words for him. But I want you today to also claim them as words for you. They're words every bit as much for you as they are for any other child of God. Therefore, in the short time that remains together here this morning, I want us to consider this, these words of Christ under the title, For More Than a Missionary. These are words for more than a missionary. Now, if you forget much about what is said about this verse this morning, if you forget much of what you've seen in the video about us moving to the land of Uganda, if you forget much and most of all that is said here today, I would pray that if you can remember that sermon title, of course, in relation to this verse, I will leave here satisfied and thankful to Almighty God that you can grasp that these words, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, these are words for more than a missionary, or in other words, they are words for you. Well, maybe like David Livingstone, you'll take the pencil, you'll take the pen, you'll write in the margin of your Bible a very title beside those words. And the next time you open your Bible to Matthew 28, verse 20, you will see those little words in the margin and you'll be drawn to remember this very fact. That when you're at your lowest, when you're feeling alone, you'll remember, wait a minute, that man, I don't even remember his name, that man who went off to some country, he told us that these are words for me. He proved, he showed that these are words for me. Or maybe as you would take the prayer card. And if you're anything like me, my Bible, people hand me things going out to church sometimes and it's pushed somewhere inside my Bible. I say thank you for it and before long my Bible is full of this and the other thing. And maybe that's like you. Maybe you do the same. Maybe you'll take a prayer card this morning, you'll slip it somewhere inside your Bible and maybe that's where it will remain for some time. Until maybe then you open your Bible and it falls out before you. But may that be even a divine appointment of the Lord. For that card to fall out before, oh yes, you'll see my ugly mug in the card, but I trust that your eyes will not be too distracted by that, but your eyes will be turned to the verse, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh yes, I want that card to be a prompt for you to pray for me. But I'll be a happy man even out in the land of Uganda. I think people are looking at that card and being encouraged that Jesus Christ is with them always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, these tests, these words of Christ, they are words for more than a missionary. I want to really have two, I trust, or simple points to try and show that to you, that these are words for you. They are words for more than a missionary. As we consider this message of the Lord Jesus Christ, see with me firstly that it was a message for doubting disciples. It was a message for doubting disciples. Verses 19 and 20, we read, reading the two verses together, we read, Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, as I've said, and as we know, these are the words of Christ to his disciples. Maybe you can already see how comforting these closing words of verse 20 must have been to them. Oh, how comforting it must have been to them. But you see, as I've also said this morning, these are not just words of comfort and encouragement for them, but we, like Christ's disciples, we are Christ's disciples. Those of us are saved. These are words of comfort to us. Well, maybe today you cannot identify with that. You'll say, oh yes, I know we're Christ followers. We're in the school of Christ. We're learning of Christ. And you can say in that sense you're a disciple. At the same time, you can't identify with these particular men. You can't see that these words are for you because you see that these were for, we could say, maybe very special men. These men who are going to be thrust out into all the world with the gospel. These men who are going to turn the world upside down for Christ. You find it very hard to identify with such men. But I want you to realize this morning that these men might be more like us than you would ever care to imagine. Oh, these men were great. They were going to embark on a great missionary journey. Yes, great men in one sense. Yet they were men just like us. They were men with their faults. They were men with their failings. But I want you to see with me, they were also men with their doubts and fears. Men of doubt and fear. A point that is made abundantly clear in verse 17. Take verses 16 and 17 together, we read, then the 11 disciples. So here again it is clear, it is to the disciples that is going to be spoken to in these latter verses. It says, then the 11 disciples, they went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. That's those three words are the mysterious words really in many ways. It says, but some doubted. Here's these disciples gathering, and here they're gathering before the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us they saw him, yet we are told that some of them at least had doubts. Now, I don't have the time this morning to really delve into what it was they're full of doubt here and the written mystery of these words. Take the time to contemplate those things today. But let me suggest some things this morning to you that these men would have doubted. Oh, not necessarily the doubt that has been spoken of in this moment, but the doubts that at this time would have no doubt been in their hearts. Oh, they had doubts. They had doubts about all that had happened. Think of all that has occurred up to this point. The one they had served, the one they had loved, he had been snatched from them, he had been taken, he had been crucified, he's now risen from the grave. There's doubts about all what has been going on. Oh, there's doubts, I would say now, also concerning their future. Doubts concerning their future based on the fact that they know that this one, this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this one who had taken them and had schooled them day after day, had been with them each day, had molded them and changed them to be the men that they were, that this one was now soon to leave them. He was soon to depart to glory. They're going to be alone. Well, surely that was a doubt that filled these men's hearts. And no doubt as they come to those closing verses, in verse 17, yes, it says, but some doubted. Well, when Christ then tells them, you know what? I'm sending you out into all the world with the gospel. Surely there was more doubts filled those men's hearts. Full of doubt. Full of fears and anxieties. And I tell you, as I stand here, I want to be very honest with you. I have my doubts, and I have my fears. You see, sometimes you can look at the man standing in the pulpit, and I don't know, probably nobody very much thinks this of me, but sometimes the man in the pulpit standing there looking the part with his collar on, and he looks at, you know, that man, he has it all sorted in his life. He's no doubts, he has no fears, he has no troubles. He's a real close walk with God, and he's never anxious or worried or full of care in any way. I don't want to talk for your minister, but I believe he would admit himself that there's times that he has his doubts, times that he has his fears, times that he has his troubles. Never, I ask you, pray for your minister. Well, you see, he is just a man. And as you would say to me today, no doubt that you need prayer. He, like you, also needs prayer. And therefore, keep our brother often in your prayers. But now, why do I mention this? Why do I mention doubts and fears? Well, I wanted this to prove to you that we all have our doubts and fears. We all struggle. I will be very honest. I have my doubts. I have doubts. I have had doubts in the past. But it is these words that have helped conquer those doubts. As I go back to how the Lord all those years ago would first place a burden on my heart for the land of Uganda, and considering that the Lord would send me possibly to that land, I had doubts concerning all that. Oh, I still very much have doubts concerning my ability to do so. Doubts like the disciples concerning the future of going into an unknown land. Doubts about bringing my wee family to a literal third world country. Fears and about the trials that may come. Doubts and fears about coping with leaving our families behind. Doubts and fears about how we will deal with the loneliness of the mission field. Oh, I could go on and on. Why can list all these doubts and fears? And maybe you think, is this man called at all? Surely a man called of the Lord to go, he'll have no doubts, he'll have no fears, he'll have no worries. Oh, dear friend, I'm very honest with you. We all have our doubts and fears. But you see, it is these words of Christ that address those doubts and fears. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, I don't tell you about my doubts and fears this evening or this morning. I don't want to talk about myself, but what I'm trying to show you is you're not alone, that we all have our doubts and fears. We all have our worries and our cares. And it was to these men who were told in verse 17 that doubted, it was to these very same men that Jesus Christ says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Child of God, he says to you today these words of comfort and encouragement. Whatever it is you are suffering, whatever trial it is you're going through, whatever doubts and fears that you have today. Oh, I know some faces here, I look down, and a few are more familiar than others. The vast majority, I do not know at all. I don't know what it is you're going through. I don't know what struggles it is that have carried through from 2022 into 2023. But what I can tell you this, that whatever it is you are facing, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, see of me, dear friend, today that these words are words for more than a missionary. They're for every precious child of God. Take heart, dear Christian. Christ is with you even unto the end of the world. Rest in this. Rest in this. Trust in this. And this brings us really to our second point this morning. These words, they are a message for doubting disciples. But see with me secondly, that it is a message of promised presence. It is a message of promised presence. In our first point, we are really noting the context of the words. We have the context being that it was a message for doubting disciples. That's the context that we find it. A context was to doubting disciples who are being thrust out into the world with the gospel. Disciples who are going to be left behind. Disciples who had doubts about all that had gone on. And then moving on from the context, considering this second point of his promised presence, we're really noting the content. What was it the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to these doubting disciples? Well, look again at verses 19 and 20. Christ says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, yes, is here commissioning his disciples, and he closes out his commission, he closes out his words to his disciples with a promise of his ever-abiding presence. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, as we will consider this, that here he gives the commission, and then immediately he then gives them this promise, there's a couple of things I want you to see with me, and the first one is the timing. The timing of the promise. Christ will soon depart from his disciples. These men who cast down their nets to follow him, they followed him, they've been at his side every day. They're now preparing for him to go. Not only that, as I say, they're preparing to be sent out into the unknown with the gospel, into the dangers of the world. Well, these men, as we say, had their doubts and fears. Yet it was in the midst, or we could say at the very pinnacle, at the very moment that their fears, that their doubts were at the highest, the Lord Jesus Christ brings them the promise that they need to hear. Well, what we could say is the timing of his promise was perfect. He knew exactly what was going through their hearts and through their minds. He knew their struggles. He knew their battles that they were dealing with. And he knew what it was they needed to hear. Now, by saying that he knew what they needed to hear, I'm not saying that he was just telling them what they wanted to hear. See, sometimes we can do that. Somebody's distressed, somebody's going through a problem. We would say, you know, it's not that bad, or it may not be that bad. And we try and give comfort. We tell them what they want to hear, but we don't really know it. We don't really know things are going to get better. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ meant exactly what he was saying. Well, his promise was not just what they wanted to hear, but what they needed to hear. And what he said, he meant every word of it. Not empty platitudes, but sincerely he brought comfort that they needed. The promise of his presence, it was the very promise that was necessary for them in that moment. And surely there is a lesson for us in all of this. A wonderful lesson and encouragement that Christ knows today. in this very moment exactly what it is you're going through. And he knows at this very moment, at this very hour, how to meet that need. Dear friend, maybe this again, just like the disciples in that day, it is now at this moment, in this very hour, that the Lord Jesus Christ would have you hear this promise to you. Lo, I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. A promise. A promise, Lord, that the promise gives. The timing of his promise is perfect. May his timing be perfect, maybe for you today. The timing of the promise. It was here given a perfect promise. A promise that met and could soothe these troubled souls and the very problem that they were facing. Not only then is there the timing of the promise, but consider with me the scope of the promise. The scope, and very quickly, in your time, I know I don't want to take up much more of your time. Listen to those words of Christ. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And very quickly, we see the promise really here is twofold. It's a twofold promise. Firstly, note that word always, or we could say always. He says, lo, I am with you always. As I said, the disciples know that Christ will soon ascend to heaven. There's no doubt filled the disciples with dread. Yet Christ, the omnipresent God, he promises that even though he in his bodily form must ascend into glory and leave them, he promises to still be with them at their side as their God. He says, I will be with you always. Oh, Christ has told them that he's going to go. And you can nearly hear the disciples saying, Lord, please don't leave us. And you can hear Christ saying in reply to them, I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. I will be with you always. Oh, what a wonderful part of the promise that is. Remember, you see, there's another part then to this promise, not only always, but he says, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Again, we are surmising that there was doubts and fears about going out into all the world with the gospel. I am certain that they had those fears. But you see, here he is comforting them in that very fact. Oh, they're going to be sent out. He's telling them to go into all the world with the gospel, to go into the unknown, go wherever the Lord may lead them. But he's telling them, you know, you can go to the very ends of the world, be it in time, be it in place, for all your labors, for long as you will do it, I will be with you. I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. Wherever we go for Christ, his promise was to be with them. And therefore you can see how precious a promise this is for any missionary to cling to. But again, I emphasize that these are words for more than such a missionary. See, whatever the struggle, whatever the valley that maybe you're not going through today, but maybe it's just lurking around the corner and it's going to hit you maybe with a bang and you're not prepared for it, you're not ready for it. I tell you this, Christ is already there. Christ knows about that struggle. Christ has gone before us. He is there. He'll be with us through that battle, through that struggle. He is with us even on to the end of the world. Well, may we, like David Livingstone, may we see these as the words of a gentleman, words that we can trust. Oh, may we rest in them, even in this year ahead. But as I would conclude, let me say this. May these words, this promise, may this promise inspire us all to do. Oh, yes, well, I insist this morning that this is promise for more than a missionary. I think it would be very foolish, indeed it would be wrong, to overlook the context of this promise with service. You see, there's many today and many a pulpit and they give all the promises that the Lord loves you and all these things. Yes, God is love, but it's such a one-sided message. But you see, we must be very careful that the context of this promise, yes, I say that this is a promise for more than a mission, yet the promise is in the context of doing, of serving. The promise is here given to those who will do something for the Lord. And what I say to you, therefore, this morning is, yes, I say this is a promise for you. But dare any of us claim the promise if we're not willing to obey the command? Do any of us dare claim the promise if we're not willing to obey the command of the Great Commission? To do the little that we can for him. Well, you may never cross the oceans, but on your doorstep there is a mission field. There is the friend, there is the neighbor, the one maybe who has before laughed at you, you've tried sharing the gospel with you. You say, I'm not going to try. I couldn't try share the gospel with them again. I'm not able. I'm too nervous. I'm too shy. But Christ says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, laying hold of the promise. Surely that'll inspire us to do, to not be afraid, to do what we can. O child of God, trust in these words. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And if that is the case, let us do what we can, where we can, for as long as we can. And this I do finish with. We mentioned here today that these are words of promise for more than a missionary. Lo, I am with you always, even on to the end of the world. Yes, there are promises for more than a missionary. But what about you today if you know not Christ? If you don't know Christ today, is Christ is not with you. You are far from him. He is not your Savior, he is not your Lord. And indeed there is coming a day when he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. You'll be separated from all, for all eternity. The hell of hell, to be separated from all hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, dear friend, you can know Christ. You can know him as your Savior. You can know him in your life. And you too can know the promise of Christ being with you all the way even to the end of the world. But you must turn from your sin. Except you are a sinner. Or repent and believe what Christ has done upon the cross to save a sinner just like you. It is my prayer that each one in this place, that we would all leave this place this morning, knowing what it is to have Christ as your Savior, to know what it is, to be able to trust in the promise of Christ, saying, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. May the Lord take his word. May he bless it to each and every one of our hearts today. Thank you.
I'd like to thank the Lord's servant for the presentation of the work of the Lord in the land of Uganda, but also for bringing that word from the Lord today. And I believe that it is a word in season for a number here already, but may it be a word in season for every one of us. Let's just bow in a word of prayer before we sing our final hymn. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank you for thy presence with us today. We thank you, Father, for that promise which thou hast brought afresh to our minds, and brought it, Father, with an impact as well. Father, no matter what circumstances we are currently going through, or indeed will go through in the days and weeks, and even of this year ahead, Lord, help us to remember this promise which thou hast given, that as we serve thee, Lord, thou art with us. And Father, no matter where thou wilt send us, thou wilt be with us. And no matter what time of day it is, whatever struggles it is that we're going through, thou wilt be with us. Father, we thank you that we do not need to doubt, we don't need to worry, or nor indeed be anxious, for Christ has promised that he is our shepherd, and we shall not be in want. O Father, I pray, draw near to each of us who are thy children today. Encourage us in the work of the Lord, and especially draw near to thy servant and his family. Father, be with them, bless them, make them to be a great blessing, and Father, ever give them that peace that passeth understanding, that no matter what thou wilt call them to do and to be, that thou wilt be with them, and Lord, thou wilt bless thy word. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, be with us the remainder of this time together. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a final hymn. It's hymn number 682. Hark the voice of Jesus crying, who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? This song and this hymn will speak about many feelings that the children of God can have. Verse 2 will speak about how you may not feel you have much to give, and how indeed you may not cross the ocean. Verse 3 will speak about how you may feel you cannot preach like the Apostle Paul. You may feel that you may not be apt to teach in verse 4. But yet, as we have heard the promise today, Christ has said, I am with you always, as you serve me, even on to the end of the world. For those that are not able to wait behind for the communion service, Lord's servant and myself will be going to the door to say goodbye. But for those that are able to remain, finish singing this hymn, and then I'll come back into the meeting at that stage.
Thank you. morning.